All right, let's get her going. National Hour starts right now. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kyprios, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandale, Jake Schultz, and welcoming back into the fold, our very own Justin Bourne.
Good to be back. Very excited. This is the second most exciting time of the NHL calendar.
So you good? You caught up? Or am I better off asking you if you would give up Minnie and Mickey for Goofy?
Buddy, I would trade those first two away in a heartbeat. No value.
Hearing bad things about Mickey off the ice.
Oh, yeah.
Minnie, she talks too much.
I will say, though, the whole thing was really, you know, it's roller coasters and donuts and all the swimming.
Fireworks. I saw fireworks.
Yeah, it was really cool. But I did miss hockey, and I'm tired. So I'm happy to be back.
In a couple of minutes.
Reunited.
Yes. There you go. So and we'll reunite with Steve Alliquette coming up in a few minutes. Analyst for the New York Rangers on MSG, Clearsight Analytics. Pretty convincing win by the New York Rangers.
Yeah.
And who sent the tweet that said JT Miller's got like 14 points in 11 games? And
it's a trade. Yeah.
And Pedersen has
eight shots
on goal in roughly the same amount of games.
And that sound you just heard is all of our Vancouver listeners screaming at
but
you on
know.
The radio.
They know, I will say.
No, they know.
They can't stop talking about
when
it.
When you guys brought that up to me, I went through his game log. Uh-huh. And since the return of, after the Four Nations break, he doesn't have a game with two shots on goal.
Oof.
And in his last five games, he has a total of two shots and 1 point.
Jesus.
It's really not going great. So Miller wasn't the problem for Peter.
Now, I
don't care.
I took him off my trade board.
You did?
I did.
I'm curious about that. No one wants a guy who can't score for 12 and a half.
A number of reasons. I really felt that when they moved JT Miller, there was a sense of commitment that we are going to work with him. We picked him. Right?
Yeah.
We essentially picked him.
Yes, we picked him.
Can't pick him and then unpick him in a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Has anyone... So he's paid like what, a top 10 guy for sure, probably.
11-6 puts him.
He might be 6th or 7th in the NHL in salary.
For sure.
He did have some comments today. He faced the media.
Okay.
And he was pretty forthcoming. This is from Brendan Batchelor on Twitter. He says, I haven't played to the expectation I have of myself or the franchise has of me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be the first one to tell you that. But that's in the past. I just want to take these last 22 games, plus hopefully more, and play my best hockey. I wish we had more wins. I wish we had played a lot better, but I can't dwell on that anymore. I'm just trying to look ahead. I want to turn around more than anyone. Good practice today and ready to go for tomorrow.
Yes. 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 That is not a quote where he says, I'm sick of talking to the media. And he says, I got to be better.
Well,
I'm going to work.
One more of those and they'll bury him out there.
What do you mean?
I'm saying if Petey shrugs it off and doesn't.
Oh, one of those where he's.
Yes. If he comes out and just does another one that I'm sick and tired of talking to you guys, that sort of thing.
Yes.
There may not be going back.
He may go back on your trade board at that point.
It would be ridiculous now to think that there's a team that would be willing to pick up his contract as is right now.
We did the Shen talk in the Leafs Hour about, you know, teams wanting to shed big contracts for no asset. Just take this off our books. Petey thing is interesting. Like, if
there's no way they're there.
No, they're not there. They're not there for sure. But, like, what would it take? Like a first? Would that be enough for Petey? It's a big ticket for a guy who's got 35 points in 55 games or whatever it is.
You gotta give him credit for saying that stuff.
You do have to give him credit.
Because
and I want him to figure it out because he is a fun player to watch.
That's the opposite of what his tact has been to this point this season for him to come out and say that. You hope that kind of wakes him up and resets him. I saw like a highlight clip. Somebody tweeted it out of him in the bubble. It's just like, it's a different
hitting,
human.
Reverse hit,
just like
slap
bar
shots.
Down, like yeah. Flying through people. You're like, what happened? Maybe is he? It's a Matthew situation, mystery injury. Like you just don't know what's going on with him.
Let's go to a guy that often does know what's going on. Let's go to Steve Valiquette in New York, who has witnessed every single 14 points in 11 games by JT Miller for the New York Rangers. And where are you after that trade with JT Miller? Where are you with Vancouver staying with Pettersson?
You know what, boys? I'm a believer in having an alpha dog in your lineup that's a top player. I can tell you that much. You should see what this guy's like on the bench. JT Miller's got everybody going. He's tapping Zibanejad 1 minute. He's coaching Cooley the next minute. So Cooley, JT Miller, and Zibanejad are the top line right now, and they are a difference maker. I'm wildly optimistic about what the Rangers could do now. Things have totally changed here. Back-to-back shutouts. And you know what? I was looking at some PD data over the last few weeks because this conversation hasn't gone away. You know what I thought was the most remarkable stat that I came across for him? It's breakaways. 3 years ago, he has 39 goals. He had 23 breakaways, scored on 8 of them. Good average. Mm-hmm. Do you know how many breakaways he's had this season, fellas?
Handful?
2.
Jeez.
2.
Wow.
So he's not getting the one-on-one breakaway speed at all. And you can go to the NHL Edge data on his speed bursts and all of that kind of stuff, and it backs it up. But he's just not getting behind people. You could talk all you want about him having his one-timer in a holster, but he hasn't been getting his one-on-one looks, and I think that hurts. And you guys know what it's like. When you're not getting your chances, specifically the good ones, you can't feel good about yourself. And with everything that's gone on, I can't believe I can look at that roster and see Horvat and Miller and Pettersson a year ago and possibly have none of them. It's unbelievable in a year.
You know, after guys' careers are over, you often hear, yeah, you go back to that year and here's what was going on. You know, I was off the ice, I wasn't right, or here's something happened with a girlfriend or my, you know, I found out that I, whatever it may be. It's just unusual. You know, we talked about Matthews at the start of the last hour. It's unusual to see elite players without explanation suddenly not be elite, Valley.
So I had one that happened to me, Borny. My son was born, and I've heard you guys talk about kids being born. Like, it's a real thing. I didn't know what sleep deprivation was. I had no idea. I've always slept really well. And my apartment, also heard you guys talking last week, Kipper, about your apartment in New York City with Gord and how much it cost. So my apartment in the city, it was 750 square feet for $5,800 a month and 500 per car.
In what year? What year was that?
This was 07, 08, 09.
Scary.
Yeah.
Scary.
Oh, embarrassing.
That's USD.
So, yeah. That was right on the West Side Highway. Yoggs was right down below me. Chris Drury was in the... So it was a great setup.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it better be.
Square feet. Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
So the crib that I have for my son that's just born that summer, it doesn't fit through the doorway of what I thought we were going to do, because it's a one-room apartment. I thought I was going to be able to take the crib out. He'd sleep in the great room. My wife and I would have the king. I'd sleep well. Well, the crib doesn't fit, and he was born premature a month, so we had a 10-day where he was in the NICU, so I'm sensitive as it is. And every time he rolls over, I'm checking on him to see if he's still breathing. And the human side of it just killed me. I remember driving to practice and saying to myself, I just got to get through today. I just got to battle through today, and I'll get some sleep tonight. And that went on for 2 months.
Right.
And then I started taking Ambien, and then that was dangerous. I took Ambien once for a pregame nap just to try and get down for nap.
Wow.
It got that bad for me.
Yeah.
So when I hear certain things that I don't know enough about, because I'm older now, I don't judge as quickly.
Maybe Petey and Matthew secretly have kids at home? Is that what you're telling us? No.
It could be anything.
I know. I'm kidding. Absolutely.
You know, I know. I hear you, man. It's wild, though.
The likelihood of Pettersson now being traded at any point with his full salary, do you have any data on, like, the odds or how much they would have to kind of retain? Or is he still in the wheelhouse where he could have an off year and come back and still be the 100-point guy that they're paying for?
You know what, Kipper? Like, I don't have the answer for you that way. I don't get into the weeds of the contracts too often. In fact, Lou Lamoriello once in a meeting, when I spoke up on this, Stevie, stay in your lane. I was like, okay, got it, Lou. Got it. You know? So the data that I use is typically about, in a better way, rehabbing the player. And I'm going to segue this to the Spencer Knight story, okay? Because I think the organizations of the future are going to see when certain things are happening with their players that they can correct and rehabilitate within, so they can take their depressed assets, Petey right now, or Spencer Knight at this time last year, and then elevate them into being able to be big trade pieces. Because the day that Spencer Knight leaves the team last year, right, he leaves the team because he's having an episode, and he leaves the team. He actually was sent down to Charlotte, left his bag in the hallway, and kind of went missing for 2 weeks, was the story I heard. And, okay, so maybe that day Florida says to themselves, let's get this guy together, let's get him right, let's rehabilitate him, we're going to support him, NHL Player Assistance Program, all of the above, yes, yes, yes. But most of all, let's help him get back on the ice on the business side, which they did. They've got Leo Luongo, they've got Roberto Luongo, Francois Allaire, Rob Tallis. They have one of those really big goalie departments. And they've got such depth there that they were able to rehabilitate the athlete, get him back to being near his prime. And over the last month, he has the best expected save percentage in the NHL. He has the best save percentage on all scoring chances when you remove the noise in adjusted save percentage. So when you take an athlete from being depressed the way he was and then being able to bring him back to where he is, check out some of these numbers. Like, I was going wild on this today, and I watched a bunch of his games end, as well as last night's game against, what was that, Chicago and LA, right? So breakaways, this season, 12 breakaways faced, one goal against. East to West, 15 scoring chances, one goal against. I'm looking at this in terms of, you know, what the fit is for Chicago. Well, okay, you could be getting a franchise goalie right here, right now. Mm-hmm. And this is all based off of a trade that you're happy with if you're Florida, and you're very happy with and pleased with if you're Chicago. Maybe Florida thought they weren't going to have a Stanley Cup winning goalie there because they weren't sure about him getting over his OCD and all these things. But I've been on the ice with him in the summertime. He's from the area, and he is a specimen of an athlete. He's got the tree trunk legs. He can do anything athletically. He's enormous. Even going back to when he was 14 years old, I'll never forget this one. I was hearing locally about how good this goalie was. And it was Mike Richter that finally put me over the edge, Kipper. He called me up and he said, look, this kid's 14. He's at the training center tonight skating with a bunch of other studs. He was there with Al Samuelson's kid, who was really good. He was there with Zegras. They had the skating group. Anyhow, I get out on the ice. I see Spencer Knight for about 5 minutes and just say to myself, this is the best 14-year-old I've ever seen in my life. You know, he was as big as he is right now, and everybody else was down to his knees, just dominating. He made a save with his shoulder and his elbow that he should have probably chased with his glove, but he's doing it the NHL way as a 14-year-old. So I'll never forget it. I skate up to him on the bench, right, grab some water for a second, and I said, hey, like, really good job where you got your glove, you know, position downward, so you used your chicken wing on that save. Took a drink of his water. He looked at me and he said, I've already got a goalie coach.
Come on.
I was like, hey, man, I got no sweat.
Not trying to pick anybody's pocket here.
Yeah, exactly. Geez. So I know he's got the confidence. I love the kid. And look, he went through something, but point is what's better than Because I look at the Rangers, and they sold low on Kako, Krabsov, Elias Anderson, you know, and that's where you lose right now, fellas, in my opinion, because can you imagine if the Rangers had those three players playing a role on the team commensurate with where they were drafted in the top 10?
You got to be really confident in your ability to assess your talent or read the tea leaves, because there's a lot of teams that like to play it safe, right? But it takes a lot of guts to move on a guy. And I'll give Chicago credit too. It's at the end of the day, it's still risky on Chicago, is it not?
For sure.
With Spencer Knight, but also the fact is that you got to take your chances every once in a while. And in many ways, the Washington Capitals also rehabilitated Pierre-Luc Dubois, who was also in that. We're buying low here. We may have to take the whole contract, but we're not competing against anybody. It's not going to cost us a ton. Like, you got to be really confident in your homework to go out and do this.
Logan Thompson would be another one from Washington. Yep. Strom. You know, I even wonder about Washington a little bit. They bought cap friendly this summer, and they've had quite a bit of success. You know, like, what are they doing? You know, there might have been something there that they've pieced together, but 250 scoring chances is a lot of shots. 250 scoring chances. And so going back to January 1st, Spencer Knight's the top goalie in the league. Logan Thompson's number two. So those two guys have been completely rehabilitated. Logan Thompson's got a brand new deal. Vasilevsky has moved his way all the way back up to the top. So these, Dustin Wolf. And excuse me, if you were going to talk about who we're talking about for the rookie of the year, Dustin Wolf is in the top five of every major statistical category representing the goalies. And he's with all the big names. And I don't think you're seeing that from as good as Celebrini is. I know you saw him last night, and whoever else is vying for the Calder. Man, oh man, Dustin Wolf has to be, he has to be the heads on favorite right now. And you know, if you're a betting person, I think that's some pretty good money to put on him, too, to win a Calder.
Yeah, Dustin Wolf would probably have a better chance if someone on Calgary could score a goal here or there. That would be really helpful for them. You mentioned that Vasilevsky's clawed his way back to sort of the top of some of your metrics. We covered the Leafs in the first hour. A little concerned about Vasilevsky kind of looking like old Vasilevsky.
Yeah, a little bit. He's been the best goalie, I guess, going back to just a little bit before Christmas to now. And when I look at who's favored here in our model, I'm looking on my dry erase board behind me, Toronto, Florida, and Tampa. All the model likes all three of those teams very well, mostly because of the way they're defending, all three of them. Where they're defending. And then out west, Colorado, Winnipeg, Dallas, and Edmonton. But Edmonton's really fallen off defensively recently. And then, you know, I'm looking at your goalies. When you guys are trying to evaluate who's going to start game one, what conversations are you having between Stolarz and Wall?
It's changed, but I imagine, and I'm going to speak for you guys here, I imagine everyone would pick Stolarz today.
I wouldn't hesitate if it was tonight to put Stolarz in first.
Sammy?
Yeah.
3 for 3, boys.
Sammy? Yeah. Yeah, I think the same thing. I was looking at a few factors here, and I think this is going to be the conversation and some of the questions that you're going to have on your show. But not every team has to go through this, because Stolarz and Wall have been so good, both of them. And not every team has that problem. It's a similar problem Swayman and Allmark gave the Bruins a couple of years ago. So who's playing better is going to be a big question down the stretch. You're going to feel comfortable with who's playing better. And since January 1st, it's been Stolarz, but he's got a smaller sample size because of his injury. So this is going to be one that's just going to be punted for the future. But the next question I think we have to ask ourselves is, who's been more consistent over the year? Who do you guys think has been more consistent overall, full sample?
Jeez, I feel like you're leading us that it's Joseph Wall, but I don't know.
Yeah, I honestly, from my eye test, Stolarz. Yeah.
So Stolarz has had more big games, but overall, solid average, give yourself and give your team a chance to win games. The positive game percentage for Wall is higher. It's 84.5%. compared to 77%. Both great numbers. Mm-hmm. Both great numbers, but that's just a little piece. Another piece would be, who does our team play better in front of? Does our team perform better in front of Stolarz or Wall? And the answer on that one is Stolarz. The team defends better with Stolarz in net. Who plays better under pressure is another question. And pressure can be two ways for me. It can be, you can identify it at least analytically to, you know, get you to the video to watch. Who has the better save percentage when the score is tied, we are up by a goal, or we are down by a goal? And there's a big difference here. This might surprise you. Stolarz is 12 goals better than league average. Wall is 4 goals better than league average. And the big significant bump would be when the score is tied. So that's more time tied in a playoff hockey game than any other game score. Wall is a -7. Stolarz is a +1. Both goalies are better when they're up by one or down by one, score tied being the one where they're not, you know, killing it. Mm-hmm. But overall, Stolarz would be the guy that if we started today, it would get the net. And then the last reason, which is just my own bias, it would be seniority. I think it's easier to go with the older guy, and then if he fumbles it, put the young guy in.
Mm-hmm.
This time of year, if teams have a little bit of a question mark with their goaltending, is there a percentage where a solid defenseman could come in and help a goalie out? Because the two examples that I have, and we just mentioned Vasilevsky, you know, Deblois is the general manager of Tampa Bay.
Brisebois,
sorry. Yeah. And he thinks that Ryan McDonagh's playing as well today at age 35 than he has at any point during his tenure in Tampa Bay. He's been that good. Coincidence that it falls into Vasilevsky now playing great hockey. You mentioned Wall or Stolarz. Coincidence that the goaltending got a lot better in Toronto with Chris Tanev. How far is the team away from just getting that one defender to help out a goaltender?
I think it's everything, Kipper. The teams that I had named off earlier, they're all just strong defensively and specifically in three areas. And this is where I see good news for the Leafs. Comparing the Leafs last year to this season, big improvements. Big improvements from odd man rushes last year, where the Leafs were 19th in the league, and then this season, 5th.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a number I've brought up here for, how long have we been doing this, fellas? 4 years.
Yeah.
And for the last 6 years, the team that's won the Stanley Cup has been a top five performer in that stat. And again, if you're putting money where you want to make a little bit here, you know, give me a DM and I'll tell you those five teams. Right? on the eve of the Stanley Cup playoffs. So the other area is dots down in the D zone last year where the Leafs were 24th. Not a good number. Mm-hmm. This year, they're 5th. Dots down defending in their D zone. Last year, the east to west pass, they did it well. They were 9th and now 7th. So those numbers are just around where they were. But this, to me, is really telling when you start looking at what chance types influence these numbers. So how about this one? Last year, the Leafs, breakaways against, they allowed 114 on the season. That was 28th in the league.
Wow.
This year, they've allowed 53, which ranks them 5th. They've given up the 5th fewest breakaways this year. Great number. Another great number, because you want your goalies to be warm when they face difficulty. This year, the Leafs are 29th in clear-sighted shots against. 29th is a good number because you're allowing your goalies to see a lot of rubber with clear view. So some may say Tanev screens the goalie a lot because he's always in the way trying to block shots. I would argue that with he and McCabe playing as the top pair of guys, they're clearing better than ever before.
Right.
So now you're allowing your goalies to be great. You're keeping the play on one side of the ice. They're not seeing one-on-one looks, and they're seeing clear view shots. Slot area chances this year, 132. That's 5th best. 5th best.
You got a follow-up?
Deflections, three. It's all good stuff, really, for the Leafs defensively. And I know last night was last night, and I wonder sometimes when they drop games against bad teams, but I think it's good environment for their goalies.
All right, that makes sense. Not on the Leafs.
No, okay. I'm gone.
All right, just last one for me then, Valley. Tonight, the Edmonton Oilers are playing the Anaheim Ducks. Calvin Pickard is going to start, not Stu Skinner. Skinner's last four starts have been kind of rough. Do they need to make a move to shore up their goaltending given how good the rest of their team is?
Good question, Barney. I'm prepared for you.
All right.
Get some homework for you. All right. So last week, when you were away using your fast pass at Magic Mountain while we were still on the roller coaster of the NHL.
Well done.
We talked about Binnington in the environment that the Edmonton goalies have played in all year. Mm. Pickard and Skinner. Imagine that you just plop him in there and he's faced all of the same shots, his strengths against their weaknesses and vice versa. He would have stopped 17 more goals than their tandem has allowed this year.
Jeez.
It's a lot. It's a lot. Now, another goalie that could be rumored to go there is John Gibson. So when I put him into that model, he'd only be a plus three. And part of that reason and the big difference is that Binnington is really good off the rush. He's got a very good rush save percentage for the last 5 years. He's been in the top five. He's always been very top save percentage, reading off rush, odd mans, etc. So the big issue in Edmonton this year right now, overall defensively, when you include PK and all game situations, they're still okay. However, dots down D zone that we were just talking about, 24th, east to west D zone chances against, 23rd, and odd man's against. Last year they were top five. That's why they got to the final. You know, they were right there with Florida. And this year they're 15th in odd man's against. And if you watch Edmonton play for a few nights, you can see that Stu's just not even moving close to as well as he was last year. Never been a huge Skinner fan off the rush, movement-wise. But right now he's struggling in there, moving side to side.
So would you do it? Would you push for Binnington if you're Edmonton?
I would. No question about it. I would, because you've got two nuclear weapons there in Draisaitl and McDavid, and enough to win.
Yeah,
you need something to push you over the line. Right,
I got one more for you, and I don't know, but it seems to blow my theory of just have good defense and you have a good goalie theory. But Carolina, and I look, Orlov, Slavin, Burns, Walker,
Chatfield.
You know, it's
loaded.
So, like, what's their problem between the pipes all these years?
We're on the same page. Also did homework on this one. All right.
So prepared.
Carolina. Well, Carolina, they're a team we see quite a bit. So when I'm preparing for the Leafs on Friday, or even this is the process I go through. We had the Islanders yesterday, right? Like, I go through every goalie this way. You'll get a kick out of this, Borny, because of the Islander connection. So Sorokin, right? Sorokin, if you play the wrong game style against him, you're going to lose. He has the third best rush save percentage in the NHL. That's where he's an NHL goalie. He's very good off the rush. In fact, when I'm coaching goalies, oftentimes I show them how he advances out, mm-hmm. where he is when the play comes to the dead angle, how he plays off the rush. But if you play him in his own zone, in the D zone, the Islanders struggle at covering net front, and this is the weakest part of his game. Net front with traffic in front of him, shots from the point. He has allowed 26 goals this year. That's second worst in the NHL. And I don't know if you saw the Islanders-Rangers on Tuesday or you were still with Mickey at that point, but he was scored on 4 out of the 5 goals on net front. And the Rangers just figured it out.
Yeah.
And the second part of it is they stay away from the lower part of the net on him. He's one of the best in the league at just sealing down low. He's got a .986 save percentage on the ice. Seals really well. But when you elevate up on him, and specifically over his glove where he has a 75% save percentage, fifth worst in the NHL, where did the Rangers score last night? All four of their goals were in the upper part of the net. You know,
sounds like the Oilers should trade for that guy.
Well, there you go. Yeah, there you go.
That would solve their problems.
You're the one that brought it up. Yeah. Horses for courses, right? Yeah. So quickly here, I don't know if I'm on a time crunch with you guys, but Carolina, this is what's been wild about them this year for me. And again, I go through this process with them and I see them enough. 91 breakaways allowed. That's 28th in the NHL. Carolina. They were never that team before. They were responsible defensively. They weren't taking chances. This year, they're blowing the zone. And I wonder if sometimes the star players that it's always a challenge to get those guys to check, if they're just like, screw it, hasn't worked Rod's way, we're just going to go for it. Like, I feel like they're blowing the zone more than ever. 100 rebounds allowed. That's 27th in the NHL. Dots down in their D zone, 31st. Odd man rushes against 30th. It's like, so Kipper, you know, if you want to say upgrade Kachekov, he actually he's been performing well. His environment's tough. It's been tough for him this year. It's not your typical Carolina setup.
Wow, that's,
great info, very insightful.
The cheating on a Rod Brind'Amour team to boot.
I've had these meetings. I've seen it. You know, I'll never forget this one, guys. We had a really good team in New York, 07. I thought we could win. But we had the team that was off the rush, loose, and playing pretty silly at the offensive blue line. We're in Washington. We had a few of these turnovers that went the other way. Our coach calls meetings with us individually. I've been around long enough that I feel I could speak up in a one-on-one meeting in his hotel room. He asked me what the problem with the team is. And I'm like, hey, look, I got a front row seat every night. This is what I'm seeing. It's okay for Jágr to turn it over at the offensive blue line. You don't sit him. And then what happens when Dubinsky does it? You know, and then what happens when Callahan does it? Everybody feels like it's a free pass. Hockey players crave structure and accountability. And if those things aren't in line with your stars, you have no shot. And that's the biggest difference I've seen since JT Miller's been here. It's almost like they're afraid of him, Kipper. Like, yeah. They're legit afraid of him. I feel like Zibanejad is like John Giannone, who I work with for pre and post. He's between the benches, and he's like, last night, he's like, Valley, every shift he comes off, he's tapping me, guys, saying, hey, he's encouraging him. It's going well. You know, you never know when it's going to go sideways, but so far it's going well, and it's almost like having a new coach in JT Miller joining the team. It's really changed.
Hey, Mika,
that bounce.
You don't want to be the next Petey.
This is the part where
boys, the guy's got, he's got 15 points, Mika does, since January 1st. He's leading the NHL. This guy was whiffing on one-timers like it was his birthright 6 weeks ago.
This is the part of JT Miller I loved when he was in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what happened.
He's like the Tortorella of players. Yeah. Well, the Tortorella is stuck in for a
while. Yeah. Valley, we needed an alpha. We got it.
So. I kind of lied. I got one more for you.
My good
just,
gracious.
Hold on. Just quickly. You got to do this quickly here. So it's clear for me and all the listeners here. We hear you often say rush chances. I just want to be clear on what that constitutes. Is it anything that comes in on a clean entry zone? And no matter if the puck is shot off the wing or works its way through the slot to the other winger and then a shot on goal, are they all the same?
Great question. So any odd man rush would most frequently give you the high danger scoring chance, the good one. You know, even when a puck carrier steps into the middle of the ice and he's a shooter on a two-on-one, those go in more than 20% of the time, which is why I qualify it as high danger. So when I'm looking at stats that are relevant, I will remove the ones that are perimeter shots or a two-on-two entry that doesn't have any value if they're shooting for a forecheck. But if any of the rush chances, whether they're odd man or even, result in a scoring chance,
that
is either high danger or mid danger.
So a guy can cross the blue line, pull up, hit a driving guy to the wide, that's a rush chance. Okay.
Think of it as the continuation of the entry.
Yes, the continuation of an entry.
If it gets stopped,
to a scoring chance.
It's unsettled in the scoring chance, then it becomes OZP.
Great stuff, man. Really appreciate your time as always on Thursday. It's an education.
It's Tuesday.
What did I say, Thursday?
Yeah. Just let him do the
educating. That's six concussions. I can say whatever I want. Okay, we got to wait. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Valley.
See you, Valley.
Appreciate your time,
pal. All right, boys.
All right.
So long.
Sorry, Sammy. I got rushed. I got my days of the week wrong. I'm sorry.
I don't know who has a longer goodbye, Mac or Valley.
Valley's got so much info, though. I feel like you could do that for another segment. We could just carry on.
I mean, the Leaf stuff, Carolina stuff.
Mac would get jealous.
He would.
That's good. We should go to break, then we'll do game time and stuff on the other side.
All right, you heard him, and may have a rant and an update maybe.
Oh,
too.
My good.
All right, don't go
gracious.
Away. More Real Kipper and Bourne after the break.
Dive deep into Toronto sports and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Nick Kypreos, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. All right, we get into a little NHL news and notes. As a reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Had a trade as well. Oh, game time.
I got to do game time.
Yeah. How can I forget game time?
It's okay, buddy. It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Terry only. Please play responsibly. Lots of action on the ice tonight. One game I was looking at, I saw some clips from Sidney Crosby being asked about playing with McKinnon at the Four Nations and if he'd like to continue to do that in Colorado because they're playing there tonight. He said, there's lots of speculation out there, and I believe the Pens PR guy weighed in and said, they'll play together again at the Olympics. So there's some fun going into that.
Questions.
So in that vein, I'm going to do a little same game parlay tonight. Give me a Nathan McKinnon point, a Sidney Crosby point, and the Colorado Avalanche money line pays +145. So a little bit of this, the Nova Scotia connection and the Colorado Avalanche to win a game that they probably should.
Did he get traded ever?
No.
Never?
Let him finish. I'll answer the answer the question.
Answer the question.
The Edmonton Oilers home for the Anaheim Ducks. We're going to talk about the Oilers as they just made a big trade today. The Anaheim Ducks are +280 underdogs in that game. The Edmonton Oilers -360. And like you said, Calvin Picker getting the start ahead of Stu Skinner. And the last one that I will bring up, the Tampa Bay Lightning hosting the red-hot Columbus Blue Jackets, two of the better teams in the league for the last couple weeks. The Tampa Bay Lightning's big faves on home ice, -150 on the second half of a back-to-back coming off a loss last night to the Florida Panthers. Give me the Columbus Blue Jackets tonight. Ooh. As a +125 underdog in Tampa.
Okay.
And that was game time. Think. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Blue Jackets, the most surprised I've ever been by a team through 60 games.
I think it's fantastic.
It's amazing. It is so cool.
I have a quick thing. Jersey talk. I know you hate it. I watched a bit of that outdoor game, which was a great scene.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, why are those not the Columbus Blue Jackets full-time jerseys?
You know,
those are 10 times better than anything they've ever worn.
I'm not a uniform
They're
guy.
So nice.
But the blue with the cannon may be one of
those
my favorites.
Unbelievable jerseys.
No team has ever done less than the Blue Jackets with red, white, and blue.
Yes.
Than with their everyday jersey. And then they do this, which looks amazing.
We got to get that jersey. We got to find a way to get that jersey.
Instead
and
of
hang it up. And,
I'm going to start. Leafs up there again.
You left the Leafs on a national show. I'm going to start fining you.
That's fair.
Ooh, I like the kangaroo court.
I mean, our good friend, Donnie Waddell, came on and told us everything that's happening with the team. I'm sure he'd send us one.
Oh, let's hit up Donnie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That's the most
Columbus
beautiful
Blue Jackets. We really like the
stadiums.
I didn't mind the Red Wings as well, but it's just like when you've seen the same crappy Blue Jackets
with
jersey,
that bug on
it's like, oh my God, do something. And they did something. So good for that.
Hey, don't poop on the bug if we're asking him to send us a cannon jersey.
Well, they don't have they haven't had the bug since like 1998.
I'm old now.
But they did have like the lime green bug to start, which is very weird.
Did you wrap up?
Yeah, we're done. Yeah.
Okay. What was your question?
Crosby. Yeah. On pace for 85 points in 80 games.
And you asked me.
Is he just going to miss playoffs for every year till the end of his career?
I will say this, that Crosby, Nate McKinnon, and Brad Marchand playing on Colorado could be real. Is real.
Clip it.
It is real. And the only thing stopping them is the three of them deciding.
They just have to say, here's what we want.
Way.
Exactly.
Sid has to be like, I'm in.
Sid's in and Marchand's in. The three of them can be together.
So your point is the Avs would do it. The Avs would move the assets.
Would do it.
Sam with the jaw drop.
Wow, that's interesting.
Imagine.
Just,
well, listen, the Avs brought Ray Borkin and finally got Borkus Cup to get the East Coast line a Stanley Cup.
And we know Marchand now officially is out
week to week.
Week to week. But Colorado's been knocking on that door, and Sid knows he's got an open invitation. Just give them the word.
Yeah. How do you even trade for Crosby? How do you make an offer? Like, we'll give you a first and a prospect.
Yeah.
And it's like, for Sidney Crosby?
That one.
What did Gretz get traded
that
for?
One is,
a lot of money, right?
That one goes less about what Pittsburgh feels like they need and more about
Make it happen for Sid.
Sid, you've been good to the league. Anything you want.
That's interesting. All right.
That's fascinating.
You know.
Oh, go ahead.
The whole good to the league thing is really. I'm debating bringing up the Gretzky stuff right now. Have you heard all the ruckus? Do you want to talk about it?
You know, with the political part of it.
People are mad.
Yeah,
at Gretzky for
Listen, Wayne's been amazing to me as well as he's been to most, like everybody.
He's been
right. It's really
done more
hard
for the game in the NHL.
It's really hard watching it from afar.
Yeah,
you know it's upsetting.
And I think
it's heartbreaking is what it is.
It's heartbreaking.
There's a lot of Canadians justifiably upset. I think you know at having seen him support.
And
the
I'll
US
speak for myself.
Tough time.
Myself. Included.
Yeah.
It's been really hard.
And I have some family who's not in love with it either, but he's done so much for hockey and the game in general. It is a weird crossroad right now. Not even a crossroad, just...
No, it is a weird crossroad because...
For how Gretzky gets talked about going forward.
It's bringing sport and politics together, and it's bringing, lives... Like, lives are at stake here.
Yeah.
Jobs are at stake. Putting food on the table is at stake here.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's got a right to feel a certain way.
Yeah. And I think that's fair. I actually don't know that there's a clear answer here.
No.
Obviously, Wayne's entitled to have his opinion. We're, myself included, I think I'm justified in being offended by seeing him support someone who so actively wants to harm our country because Wayne's been a great Canadian. So it's like this like cognitive dissonance that sucks that I don't want to have for someone who we've just like held up as one of the great Canadians. So now that's hard to say. And it's going to be interesting to see how that gets played out if at some point Wayne makes a statement or.
Yeah, I don't know. I've just like.
Maybe I shouldn't have even brought it up.
No,
but it's
no.
been on my mind.
It's fair.
It's certainly fair.
I mean, I'm sure as you guys are the same. Amongst group chats, talks with friends, family, my mom, my dad. Like,
it's a hockey topic right now.
It's a talking point.
Doug Ford came out today and said, basically, cut him some slack. He's been a great, ambassador for the game and all that.
Like, I'm sure there's, I'm sure there's a lot of guys in the league that are pretty supportive of.
Well, and that's a thing, too. However, it's just like,
I don't want to do whataboutism here, but, there is definitely guys in the NHL that, probably some Canadians in the NHL that would have, their dual citizens probably would have voted for. There's some complicated, but they're not Wayne Gretzky.
But also, I think there's the, you can hold those opinions, but when you're aware that a whole country is so affected and hurt by it, if you don't want to be at the forefront of that conversation, don't say anything.
Yeah.
I just would rather, you don't have to promote the other view unless you want to get yourself in the crosshairs, which is what's happened here. So, anyway.
Sucks.
That's where I'm at on that.
Sucks.
Okay, Rantanen. The latest I had heard is that clearly he's not going to sign this week. He's not going to sign this week. The ball's in Carolina's court. I'm hearing that they are shopping him right now.
Really?
And there are multiple teams right now that are... They're discussing Rantanen with and what could a package look like. This is not me insinuating that it's a done deal, that they're ready to trade him. They always have the ability to keep them and try to work it out down the road. Maybe this is a playoff team, right? This
yeah.
is a team that has high expectations.
They would want a guy who could help now.
Exactly. So they are looking at options of moving him and getting a quality player back. Remember, they gave up Nakash for him. They'd probably hold someone as high as that kind of standard to come back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it exists, but they are working on that to find out as we speak.
And the crazy part is they traded what they traded for him, and part of what they paid for was the retention. Mikko's contract right now, you're getting a $4.6 million Mikko Rantanen, who is a 1.25 point per game playoff performer in his prime.
Do you know how much retention do they have? Can they retain up to 50% if they wanted to,
yes.
Carolina?
Yes, they have the retention slot.
Okay, yeah. So that's now even makes it that much more attractive, and I'll give Tom Dunnan credit for that. At least there's no question that you needed Chicago to pick up 50% for the thought of moving him. It's a waste if you went to all that trouble and you don't need it this week.
Right.
So I think it's still real that he could be moved by the Friday deadline.
It's just tough to see a team who trades for him, who obviously wants to win the Stanley Cup, giving them someone they can use for a Stanley Cup run, it's really tough. Unless you need just a very different type of player.
He's looked better recently too, Rantanen. He's starting to heat up a little bit.
Come around a little.
Yeah.
It's funny, his points haven't been there, but I've watched some games and he stands out.
He's a horse.
He still looks really
good. But he cannot score till next season.
Yeah.
And he is going to be he will be the highest paid winger between him and Marner next year.
More than Draisaitl, I think?
I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea, to be honest.
6'4", 215, and yeah, Sam, to your point, he is coming around here.
I'm telling you something here. There's been a lot of people that, you know, they're making early judgments on this trade for Nakish. I can't say his name.
Nakish.
And Rantanen, because Nakish has had a really hot start there. I'm just telling you, when the calendar flips to playoff time,
who would you rather have?
You look at those playoff stats, and I understand he's played with Nathan MacKinnon. I understand all that. Like, has he had 105 points in 80-something playoff games? Like, can't say it. He has not been a playoff performer at all. He's actually been the opposite of that. So we'll see what happens. Maybe playing there is a different case, but just be careful making the sweeping generalizations about that trade like a week or two after it's been made here.
Yeah.
I think the story is yet to be written.
Can Colorado trade for him back right now?
Oh, my God, imagine.
I actually don't think you can do that.
Yes, you can.
You can trade a guy, have them retain, and then get him back? Oh, no, you're retaining. It's your money.
No. You're missing something. They didn't trade him to Carolina.
Traded him to Chicago.
Yes.
They did. You're right. And then he's been traded.
And they traded him without retaining.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So that's...
Yeah, you're right. So Chicago did the retaining, where Chicago traded him without retention.
That's right.
So they could trade him back to Colorado.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Yes.
With Carolina retaining.
For Natchez.
Yes.
For Natchez.
No. For somebody else.
For somebody... Send up with Natchez again and some of Rantanen's money? It just happened.
Yeah. That's a strange one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's possible. Holy.
But there's no rules.
The way I understand it.
But, like, you can trade a guy back to where he came from, like, within a certain...
they didn't trade him.
Oh, yeah, right. That's the whole point. He went to Chicago,
Yeah. That would be fascinating.
Holy smokes.
Usually, the same year, you cannot trade a guy back from the team that you came from.
Yeah.
But this is Chicago.
Yeah. Imagine the player they would...
Yeah. I don't know. What do you like on Colorado's lineup?
Keep an eye on that.
They're making a lot of moves. They just made that big move with the
Middlestat?
No. They got Lindgren, and they made that trade with the...
I hear they're sniffing on something else, too.
Who? Colorado?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just said it was Sid and Marchand.
No.
He just said they would.
I know.
That could happen in the summer.
Yeah.
That could happen in the summer.
For sure.
Not now. Sid's not going anywhere now, but listen.
I would.
It's a long season for Sid.
What are the Rangers trading Lindgren for? Aren't they... They're pretty good.
He's just... Yeah, I don't know. Just beat up all the time.
Yeah, okay.
Just think he can't stay healthy, and they got to pay him. He needs a new contract, too.
Right. All right, we should.
All right.
Fantastic to have you back, buddy.
Yeah, great to be back.
Our thanks to Steve Valiquette, as always, on a Tuesday. We're so happy our Justin Bourne is back. You're back. Everybody's back. We're back tomorrow.